Good morning. We're so glad you've joined us on this 25th day of April. April Fool's done.
Wow, it's
come
long
and gone.
Gone. It's long
been
gone.
Forgot.
Yeah, we're looking to other things now.
That's right. We're looking to higher and better stuff than April. I've been a May fool and a June fool.
Oh my goodness,
all them
me
other
too.
Fools.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Anyhow. Our Bible study is not a fool, and we don't teach it to fool you. We teach it to enlighten you.
Help us not to be fooled by the
devil,
by the cunning deceiver.
That's exactly
absolutely
right. So the general topic that we're going to be studying now for several weeks is how to share Christ. How you go about telling somebody about the Lord? Do you just burst in on them and say you look like an awful ungodly sinner? If you do, they're going to pitch you out the door and you're witnessing it over with. So we're going to be giving some Bible point on how you go about it and why do you go about it? Why? And today we're going to be talking about our commission. And we hope you'll enjoy it and benefit from it, but pray for us. We need your prayer. We appreciate it. The scripture, if I said commission, you would know, bound to come from Matthew 28.
Has to, absolutely. The commission of Christ to the believers, to us.
And we all mean
the Great Commission.
Excuse me. And it's coming out of 18 through 20, the initial introduction. Then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 through 21. So if you can, you follow us in your Bible as we do this. We're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to have prayer. We're going to get to studying God's Word. Who are you?
Well, I'm Mike Hall. I'm pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, Alabama. And I'm so glad to be here with you today. Missing our old buddy, though. Golly bum.
Yeah.
Old Brown and Pinion. Brown's having some health issues. So keep old Brown, as well as us, in your prayers that he'll get better and do better. He's having a little trouble with his health right now.
And we sure do appreciate you praying for him. He's a good man, good preacher, good Christian, good teacher, and been at it a long time. So we appreciate you praying. I'm Herschel Owen. I'm from Gordo, Alabama, and I pastored for 59 years, and I've been preaching probably 61 or 2 years, but anyhow, I still preach if God gives me an opportunity and teach God's Word. You just don't lay that down and
oh no!
It's a part of you.
Yeah, absolutely,
and it's a blessing to be able to do it. And it's a blessing to be able to come to you people, and we appreciate. I do believe some of you pray for us. I've had several of you to mention you listen to us, and so we're grateful for that. We're gonna just trust that God will use us and bless us, and it'll just flow out to you.
Amen.
And you'll have
right.
a marvelous day today. And then certainly don't let this be the only church that you do unless you're bedridden.
And can't do it.
Mm-hmm. But you go to church. You go to your church where Jesus is magnified and the Word of God is proclaimed. Now, Brother Mike, would you lead us? Well, you're going to do the Bible reading.
I'll lead us in prayer. I do that.
Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to come on this 25th day of April in the year of our Lord, 2021. We thank you, Lord, for enabling us to have the health and enabling us to have the mind, enabling us to have a closeness with you. We can listen to you and let
yes,
you
Lord.
Flow your message to these precious people that are listening.
Yes.
And we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yes. You give it to us.
Lord.
That we might not sin against you. So thank you, God. What a glorious time it is. This springtime when new life is all about us in nature and the world that you created. But new life is also about us in the new birth that you offer to your to people everywhere that will repent and come to you and ask for forgiveness and for salvation. Now bless, Lord, as we do our very best for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let me introduce it. And Brother Mike and I will do the best we can. In the absence of our buddy, Brandon Pinion, you pray really, really hard for him. And after maybe a week or two, he'll be back with us. Our commission. Our commission. What is a commission?
Well, a commission, it's like if the president said, I need an ambassador to France. And so I believe I'll choose Herschel Owen. And he calls old Herschel up and says, could you come to the White House? I have what I want. I want you to be the ambassador to France. And yes, I believe I will. And so you did. And what he would do is he would give you a commission to be the ambassador. It's like a charge. It's like an instruction. But it comes with lots of things. It comes with some authority, you know. It's not all authority, but it comes with some authority. It comes with permission, you know, that says you can represent, you know, the one who's commissioning you. In the case of the president, certainly you would be representing the United States. But in the case of this, it's a charge by Jesus Christ to represent him and thereby representing the Lord and the church on the earth, because his physical presence is not going to be there. Much like the president couldn't be in France and in the United States at the same time. So you'd represent him there. Christ certainly is everywhere all the time. I'm not saying he can't be, but his physical presence is not here. So he has commissioned us to go and to represent him and therefore to lead people unto him.
And this is the reason that the Lord left us on the earth after we're saved.
Right.
Because once we're saved, we're as ready to go to heaven as we can be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go right that minute.
He just snatches right up and carries on.
Right.
But in the meantime, he wants ambassadors. In fact, I never was such an ambassador in an RA, Royal Ambassador
Right.
class.
Right, yeah.
But I did teach one. Teach some down through the years, and in fact that scripture is in this lesson that we're going to teach, that we are ambassadors for Christ.
Right.
In 5:20, I believe it is, but we'll get to that in just a little bit here in 2 Corinthians. Okay, now if we think about that. You know, sometimes we take things too lightly and don't give it the thought we ought to. When I was in the service, I went in as an enlisted man, and God blessed me. Why, I don't know. Well, I guess I know one little part of it, that I was selected to go to officer candidate school.
Right.
And when you finish officer candidate school, then you're commissioned as a second lieutenant in the military. And I went in through the Army, so I was commissioned a second lieutenant in the infantry in the Army. I will go ahead and tell you, lo and behold, the first assignment I got was at Fort Rucker, Alabama, learning to fly helicopters and then later teaching it. I always wanted to fly. I always wanted to be a pilot. So God, I think he humored me by allowing me to go that route to do it. But my commission was simply that, just exactly what Mike told you. I didn't, being immature, being very young, I didn't realize how important that was.
Right.
I didn't realize really what it meant. And the only thing it meant to me was a little bit more pay and a little better treatment.
That's right.
But I didn't see the side of it there really. And I guess the same way when I became a Christian, I didn't realize that what was involved there either. Because when God called me to preach, I ran. Well, that's the reason I was in the military.
Right.
Running from God.
Yeah.
And so I didn't appreciate the fact that he was entrusting me with the message about Jesus.
Right.
And that's a great trust.
It is a tremendous trust. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, there's none greater. There's none greater.
If they had commissioned me to be a general in the army,
wouldn't
have been equal to that.
No.
But I didn't know. I didn't see it that way.
Realize it. Absolutely.
Maybe that was your experience too. But it is a great privilege to tell people about the Lord Jesus, and that's what we've been commissioned to do, to share Him, to start where we are, and go then next step. Further out from us,
right,
in a circle, and then finally to the whole world. So we've been blessed beyond anything. So if you're listening to us, you have been commissioned.
Absolutely.
And our commission is to share with the whole world about Jesus. Now, a lot of things would not have gotten done if there had not been a commission involved. If he had not said to go to the world, then probably everybody would have just stuck in one place. I heard the story about painting the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci.
Right, yeah.
And it is one of the world's most famous art pieces. But it never would have got done. But a church commissioned him to paint a painting. They were renovating their church,
mm-hmm, right?
And he did it, not realizing what a difference it was going to make
right.
in the world, and
no,
what a
time.
Claim was going to come. And nobody knows when you tell that little toe-headed boy about the Lord Jesus, you don't know when he accepts the Lord. One of these days, he may turn into a Billy Graham.
Never know.
You never know, and so. It's a great opportunity. Now, recently, when this old COVID hit, President Trump commissioned some doctors and health people to come up with a vaccine
right.
that would cure it and would prevent it. And he said he wanted it done immediately. And that is the fastest that a brand new vaccine has ever been perfected. And it has saved thousands and thousands and thousands of lives.
No doubt.
And that was their commission. Get it done. And they did get it done. But today we got a better commission than all of that. I'd have loved to have been been a doctor and been able to help mm-hmm. with that. But that was not the case. But I've got a better one. I tell people about Jesus.
Amen.
And you've got a better one.
That commission is far greater because it's not just to save your life, because even though you and I, our lives might have been saved by that
yes.
vaccine, but still someday we're going to die of something.
That's right.
But with this commission that Christ gives is an eternal commission that when someone is saved, it's for eternity. He said, I give unto them eternal life. So what an awesome responsibility, yeah. but what a great honor it is.
That he would trust us with that
something
that
so special that
mm-hmm.
he went through the cross and the suffering and the death unto the resurrection and would entrust us then with that great treasure that he has paid dearly for.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to look at three things. Number one, the going commission, that is the going out to the world, beginning where we are. He's commissioned us to do that, to be a goer. And if you're not going, then you're disobeying.
Absolutely.
The second thing is the reconciling commission. We're going to talk about reconciliation, and he commissioned us to be a reconciler. The third thing is the representing commission, which Mike's already explained is always the case of a commission. But, Brother Mike, if you would be so kind as to read that first set of scriptures.
All right, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
That's right.
What a teaching. What a commission.
Well, there's, and I'm a nut about, I'm a nut about a lot of things, but I'm a nut about putting stuff in alliteration. That
right.
is either starting with the same letter
right.
or with the same sound. And what I've done, and we're going to talk about this, we are to go with Christ's power.
Yeah, there you go.
And we'll show you that in just a minute. We are to go with Christ's program.
Right.
Not our own program,
right.
but
right.
Christ's program.
Mm-hmm.
We are to go with Christ's presence. So you,
there
got,
you go.
Y'all got it? It's power, mm-hmm. it's program.
Uh-huh.
And its presence.
Okay.
Okay. So
sounds like a three-point sermon to me.
Yeah, it is. And it'll preach, I guarantee you. And it'll work.
It will. Absolutely.
It will work. But let's talk about this Christ, his power, in verse 18 there, because that's what he said. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then verse 19 says, go ye therefore, because of this
right.
power.
Right.
So
right.
we're to go with this power.
Well, first of all, you got to make sure that the one given the commission has the authority to do it.
That's right.
And so Jesus makes it very clear. He, in fact, he doesn't limit anything. He just says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And to me, that makes it very, very clear that goes not only to the smallest. And if you go back, in fact, to the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, you know, God said, let there be light. Well, where did light come from? Well, Jesus did the creating. God said, okay, let there be, and Jesus did it.
He worked in his workshop all night.
Yeah, right. He did it anyway. He just said, let there be.
And that's it. That's the key.
And it became. And the power was there for it to happen, and it happened in and through, you know, the relationship of Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, of course. But as we look at that, we understand that from the very beginning of the Bible, I'm saying, is that Jesus has the authority. He has the power. And when he says all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, he means just exactly that.
So he means authority, and he also means ability.
Ability, that's right. The ability has to go along with the authority. The president can say, I'm going to do this. And you'd think, boy, he's got all kind of power. But you know what? Congress can veto him, or the Supreme Court can overrule him. So, you know, there is a limitation in that power. There's no limit on the power of Christ.
Oh.
If Christ says, let it happen, it's going to happen. It will happen. And in fact, most of it happens instantaneously. He's specifying that you don't have to worry about it. When you go out into this world, And you're saying, okay, I'm on commission by Christ to spread the gospel. Now, you may encounter much difficulty,
mm-hmm.
but you will never encounter any difficulty that Christ doesn't have the authority over. So remember that. Remember that. When you're getting nervous and you think, well, I think I need to witness to old so-and-so. He's the meanest man in the town, and he's just, you know, a threatener, and he'll probably hurt me. You can walk boldly into his presence and proclaim, if you've been sent there, if you're convinced, if you know through prayer and listening to the Lord, you know that that's what you're supposed to do. You can go with the full authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever happens, he is with you and he will see you through it.
So we're talking about Christ's power, Christ has the power, and I'm again a nut on these words. Christ has the power to save any person.
Absolutely.
What about that old demoniac of Gadara? Because you just described him a minute ago.
Absolutely.
Meanest fellow in the world. In fact, I preach a message, the meanest man in town got saved.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
And he where did he live?
He lived in the cemetery, of all places. Good night. Who would want to live in a cemetery? Well, somebody that's just that evil.
That's right.
Just that evil.
And he was so bad, so mean, they put chains on him. And yeah. What did he do?
He couldn't be held.
No, he'd break them right off.
Yeah, he was not only mean and evil, he was stout as a mule. He could break loose. I mean, he really was something to be afraid of.
He was. He was a very
I tell you what, if the Lord had told me to go witness to him, I'd have wanted to examine him chains, make sure they're strong enough to hold him before.
I would have too. And I haven't heard the record of the guy. I said, Lord, you know good and well about that guy. I don't know. Let John do that.
It'd be the first thing out of my mouth would be, who, me? Yeah, right.
Well, in this case, it was Jesus that went. And of course, through his talking to the man, and the man was saved. And the point being, when God tells you to go, you go. And God will take care of you. God will see that you're able to share the word of God with them. And God's power, God's Holy Spirit, will convict. So Christ has the power to save any person, but also Christ has the power to solve any problem.
You know, when you put that on the list, I'm thinking now, I guess of all the things that I have ever encountered in my life that gets me nervous, I guess, I don't know any other way to put it, just kind of anxious, is problems with it. As a pastor, when you hear of something going on, you know, that you know there's a problem in the church, the first thing that goes over me is an anxiety.
Me too.
You know,
it's I'm just a big one.
Yeah. You get kind of sick in the pit of your stomach because you know that it's so easy to like a fire in a broom sage patch.
Right.
And you know, man, you're just praying, Lord, don't let the wind come up and make that fire get bigger. And what am I going to say? Because it's the hardest thing in the world to do as a pastor, in my opinion. Or at least for me, let me put it that way. The hardest thing for me to do in the church is to know exactly how to approach any problem that does arise. Because you always know one thing. Problems in the church are going to hit you where you least expect it, when you least expect it. From the very source you least expected.
Right.
And so when you know within your heart, now I've been pastor for 46 years, and I know that God has the power. I know Christ has the power, and I know he can handle it. Question is, how am I going to mess around and mishandle it?
Yeah, that's
going to make it worse.
That's my worry too, Mike.
That's my biggest fear, because I know. So I always, and this is now without exception, I used to years ago, wouldn't do this, but now I've learned, I always find me a quiet place. I've bathed in prayer. I give it a lot of prayer, even if it sounds like a simple problem that all you got to do is just quickly go handle it. But anyway, long story, but you know, problems within the church, probably for a pastor, it's the most difficult. Now, if you're out there and you're not a pastor, you're just a lay person, you're saying, well, I ain't got to worry about that. I'm not the pastor. Yes, you do have to worry about that.
Yeah, you do.
Because too often as church members, just as a member of the church, you know of problems. You see problems, and yet you either fan the flames or you don't do anything, and it just gets out of hand. So my advice to you is, number one, if you can't help, don't hurt.
Right.
And make sure that you lovingly let the pastor know, I'm praying for you, you know, and any way I can help.
A lot.
And do that a lot. Absolutely. Yeah.
In the book of Acts, chapter 6, the Bible shows us the problem within the church. They were giving bread to people, food to people that needed it.
Right.
Well, the old green-eyed monster jealousy.
Absolutely.
Sicked on by the devil, made trouble within the church. And one group says, well, they doing more for them Jewish people than they are for us Gentile people.
Yeah. Favoritism.
That's right. So now what you going to do? Well, thank God that there was a wise Holy Spirit there that led them and instructed them. Here's what you need to do.
All right.
We're gonna keep on preaching.
Right.
We're not going to let this stop us from telling people about Jesus.
Right.
But we need some good, wise men in the church to handle this problem.
Yep.
And what did they call them fellows?
Called them deacons.
Okay. And why I reckon they call them a deacon?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that means servant.
That's exactly right.
Now, it doesn't mean executive president.
Now, we said deacons, not Dickens.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Just to make sure.
But anyhow, if you're a deacon, you've been commissioned to stop the problems in the church. Mike said, well, go. Some of us jump in there and fan it.
That's it.
Throw a little gasoline on it.
And I'm gonna get somebody. Somebody's gonna get mad at me, but I'm gonna tell you something. Listen to me carefully. If you're a deacon's wife,
amen.
Let me advise you. Please be careful when you decide you want to get involved in some of these problems that's going on, because it's very, very easy for that to be misinterpreted and for you to get to make matters worse.
And I've always said, women in the church, thank God for them, and they're tremendous help. And it's all good if they're clicking.
That's right.
But if they start clucking,
uh-oh, we can get in trouble. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And you don't know setting hen what happened.
Oh, no.
Lord, I ain't calling y'all ladies.
No. Be careful now.
But as long as they're clicking. And them little
babies walking right along in a line behind her, and everything's good. So,
so
keep it clicking. Don't get into
that clucking area.
No, don't get started.
And do, you know, support your husband. Don't try to direct your husband, and don't try to get him to jump in there unadvised and unpowered by the Holy Spirit, and without prayer. You genuinely pray and let God use him, but don't say, now, John, you ought to do something about that. That ain't right. Old Bill over there, they bragged on him more than they did you.
Right.
Or his wife. They talk about, well, her pretty dress. They ain't never talk about my pretty dress.
Right, exactly.
Reminded of the preacher come back after 5 years to preach in the church, and one lady that got out of the clicking, got over in the clucking area. She said, brother preacher, do you know when you were here 5 years ago, you preached that same message? He says, yes, ma'am. And do you know when I was here 5 years ago, you wore that same dress?
Oh, my goodness.
I expect the revival ended quick.
I imagine it did. Well, the one piece of advice I would give in any of those circumstances is before you engage your mouth, before you start talking, make sure what you're saying is coming from the Lord and not from somewhere else.
Right.
Because it's so easy for that to happen. And I'm not just talking to the deacon's wives now. I'm through with that. But I'm talking to the deacons as well, or any church member,
right,
period, whoever you are, before you get involved in a circumstance that has the potential or is hurting the church. You make sure that what you say or what you do is coming from the Lord God above. Remember what we're talking about now. We're talking about being commissioned as ambassadors for Christ.
Absolutely.
So what we're wanting you to do as two old pastors is to remind you that your commission is from the Lord and not from Satan.
Amen.
Don't ever be deceived on one thing. Satan will use saved people just like he will use unsaved people. And if you're not careful, he will deceive you and get you into his clutches and get you to make matters worse rather than better. So if what you have to contribute is not helping matters, then don't contribute it. Just leave it alone, because if it don't help, it's probably going to hurt. So problems in the church can be very, very touchy and very difficult. So as ambassadors, let's be peacemakers, not peace takers.
Absolutely. And with that same thought in mind, he not only can save any person, he can solve any problem, the problems within the church and outside the church. Now, personal problems, all of us have personal problems.
Absolutely.
If you come to him, he will help you with those personal problems. Family problems, world problems,
right?
Community problems. The Lord is quite able. So when we think about our commission, we're going to go with Christ's power.
So remember what he says, all power. That means there's nothing outside the realm of what he has power and authority over. So I know sometimes we say, well, you know, that's not a problem for the Lord. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian, any problem you have is his as well. And he is not going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. He's going to be with you through it all. So be sure you understand that. And don't ever, ever, ever think that you have to solve all your problems alone. Don't do that. Don't even solve the simplest problems alone. Get on them knees in prayer. Keep that. There's three things that you need more than anything else in order to deal with problems. Communication.
Amen.
Those are the three things that you need more than anything else. Communicate with God first. And when you communicate with others, make sure that your communication is of the Lord. Scripturally based, solid and biblically based. And keep that door of communication open.
Right. And communication involves listening as well as talking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listening and talking.
Well, not only where to go with this power, where to go with this program. Verses 19 and 20 tells us what we are to do. We're to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. And so... where to go with this program. Our first part is to evangelize the lost.
Right. That is number one. That is top priority in our lives, in our churches. If whatever you're doing in your church is not based on winning the lost, reaching the lost for Christ, then you need to rethink it. Everything ought to be about reaching the lost for the Lord.
And then after you reach them, we're to enlist and to enlighten them and to equip them that they can turn around and do the same thing that you've just done. They can evangelize the lost. They can enlist people to help them. They can enlighten them. They can equip them. And on down is just like a chain, just like a snowball once it starts rolling.
Absolutely. That's why Christ tells us twice there. In verse 19, he says to teach. Verse 20, he says to teach. It's a training program. Church ought to always be a training program. Yes, we all need, I hear people all the time, talking about the old-timey preachers that used to, slang spit everywhere and all of that. Well, that's all well and good. There's time and place for that. But now listen, teaching, equipping, preparing, getting people prepared. If all the head football coach ever done is just slang spit around and rant and rave, then the football team wouldn't be worth a flip.
Maybe the last on the list. It'll finish the season number last.
That's why they practice. That's what we need to do. We need to practice the word of the Lord in our own lives, and in the everyday living that we do. Nick Saban always tells it this way. He says, we don't practice till we get it right.
Right.
We practice till we can't get it wrong.
Right.
And that's the way we need to be as Christians. We need to practice until we can't get it wrong.
So we're to go with Christ's power, we're to go with Christ's program, and then we're to go with Christ's presence. And I love that because he says in verse 20 there, the end of it, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And there's an example that when I left Mount Pleasant, one of my churches, I'd served there 34 years, they gave me a picture, frame picture,
yeah,
of Philip Brooks preaching in the Trinity Church in Boston.
Yeah.
And it has him standing there with his Bible open, his hand raised to proclaim, but in front of him stands a bunch of men that you can tell are prophets.
Right.
Long
yeah.
beards, they're the prophets of the Old Testament. Behind him stand men that you can tell are the apostles and
right.
and those of the New Testament. But one stands out, and it's a picture of Christ with his hand on the shoulder of the young preacher.
Absolutely. Amen. Oh, that makes cold chills go.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Man, I have been preaching, and I just wanted to turn around and look and see if he was there.
You know it.
I just wanted to turn around and see him.
Yes, sir.
And so when we go with Christ's presence, well, when we go with Christ's power, when we go with this program, and when we go with his presence, I'm telling you, our KIPP commission is going mm-hmm. to be effective.
Absolutely.
It'll be honoring to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to stop right there, but my watch won't stop. So we're going to go on to the reconciling commission. And that was the going to the commission. We want to go to the reconciling commission.
That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 16. "Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation."
So, boy, we've been given a big assignment.
You could teach a month.
Yeah.
On just those two or three scriptures right there, those two verses, man. But there again, now here it is. We used to do when I was a kid daily Bible reading. You know.
Oh yeah.
And I'd read through. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to bed. Mm. But boy, I tell you what, you need to diagnose. You need to dissect those. You need to go through those and look at it carefully. Carefully, because he's separating the flesh from the spirit mm-hmm. in the first place. To where, you know, yes, Christ was here in the flesh, but Christ also is the spirit. We have known Christ after the flesh, but we don't know him that way anymore. Now we know him in the spirit.
Absolutely.
And so if we are in Christ, I couldn't be in Christ in the flesh, but I can be in Christ in the spirit.
Right.
And though my flesh tries its best to disobey and to do things it shouldn't do, I'm a new creature now, because now I'm a spiritual creature. That means those old things are passed away. That old, yes, I've still got that old fleshly lust and that old desires that the flesh used to deal with, but my spirit, I've heard many times preachers talk about the eternal security, and someone say, well, that means that I can sin all I want to and still go to heaven. Let me tell you something, and I mean this from the heart. If I sin one time, that's one time more than I want to.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean that I wasn't tempted to sin, but my spirit, my flesh may want to sin, but my spirit hates it with a passion. And that's why I run from sin and hate it rather than running to sin and love it. So I'm a new creature. I've started all over again. That's what born again means. And that's why the commission here of salvation is so critically important for you to understand as a new creature.
And back in Romans chapter 7, says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me.
That's right.
But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not.
That's right.
But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's what you said. You don't want to sin one time. A single time.
No, I don't.
I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringeth me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then listen real, tune your ears up, turn your hearing aid up high right here. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Remember, his question is, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Here's where the answer is. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But here's, listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk after Jesus Christ, them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
That is, to me, one of the most beautiful scriptures of the Christian walk, because you got to start with the basics to understand anything about anything, and especially about Scripture. The very purpose of Christ was to reconcile man unto God. God created man for his pleasure, for God's pleasure, not for ours.
Right.
God didn't create us so that we could run around on this earth trying to find something that makes us feel good and then do it. He said, I created you for my own pleasure. Right. That means that God wants you to love him because you want to love him,
amen.
Period. He wants you to be like a child that gives him pleasure. Then it happened, sin. Sin came in, got in the way.
That's right.
And that's where Jesus came in, and he made a way to where God could once again reconcile us to where he could have pleasure in us again. God has no pleasure whatsoever in sin. Sin is an abomination before God. I mean, it's something that just totally disgusts God. And can I tell you this? And it's a fact. My own sin disgusts me.
Yeah.
It does. And when it happens, and it does happen occasionally, when it does, I am as disgusted as a human being can be.
Sin, God hates sin.
He does.
And you could understand that. I've got children. Suppose a rattlesnake. Now, I already hate rattlesnakes. I'll go ahead and confess that right up front. But suppose one bit one of my children or my grandchildren.
Ooh.
And it died. Man, there ain't no hatred in the world. It would be like my hatred of a rattlesnake. But that's what happened to Jesus.
Exactly.
Sin's what put him on the cross.
And that's why God had to turn his back on him, because Jesus became sin. The Bible says so, and God had to look away because God could not look upon sin.
That's right.
Good night above. That's Can you just not imagine how important that story is? Please, please let it soak in.
So the commission and motivation, and when I thought about that over in the early parts of Matthew, of 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Man, I'm motivated to want to serve the Lord, first of all, because I'm going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ.
Well, the judgment motivates, it should be a motivator, for sure.
And then the coming judgment that I'm aware of for the lost, it's still talking about, but I've got friends that are lost that I believe are going to hell. I've seen people die. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:11, it says, the terror of the Lord. Man, the terror of the Lord, talking about when lost people stand before a just God, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. No,
absolutely.
No,
wow.
No more chance, no more opportunity, that's it.
That's frightful.
So the commission's motivation And the commission's transformation, and Mike's already dealt with this, and won't belabor the part, but those that are in Christ, they are those that belong to Christ, that no longer follow or no longer want to follow the fleshly things, but want to serve Christ and that Holy Spirit that's been placed within us.
You know, there's one thing I want to quickly touch on, Herschel, and that's something that I fear in our world today. I fear it, I hate it, I despise it in our churches, but so many people have got this easy believism that, okay, yeah, I'm saved now, and I don't have to worry about, you know, I can go to heaven, never go to church, and all this kind of attitude that, you know, the things of the Lord, the Bible, never touch the Bible, never read the Bible. Go to the honky-tonk, and as long as they sing Amazing Grace at the end of the night, no matter how drunk everybody is and everything else, we okay because we sung the Lord a little song. Listen, folks, don't you be deceived by that. That's
right.
The greatest deception.
Amen.
That Satan is pouring out upon our world today, and that is that it don't matter how you live. Let me tell you something, Mr. and Ms. Christian, and you better hear me, it does matter how you live. It does matter.
The judgment seat of Christ is ahead of you.
That's exactly what's waiting. And the Bible says we will give account of our works. Every time you let your little head lay on that pillow on Sunday morning without getting up and taking those kids to church, you're going to give account personally to God face to face.
Amen.
For that. You better hear it. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell, but I'm telling you, you're going to miss so much blessing. And your child may go to hell because of that. You're playing with that rattlesnake, and it's going to bite you. Don't you ever be deceived into not believing that.
And if it bites you through your children, that's the worst bite of all.
The most horrible thing in the world.
Worst bite of all. So God's got a plan for us to be saved. He got a plan for us to serve. He got a plan for us to live godly, holy lives. He got a plan for us to go into the world and tell about Jesus.
God's got a plan. I've kind of picked up on something. God's got a plan for us to be saved and to behaved.
Hey, I like that. Old Mike's done caught my melody here. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't, you can say, well, as long as I'm going to heaven, I don't care if I get a little fuss in that at the judgment seat of Christ. When I look at him and I see the nail-scarred hands and the crown where the crown of thorns sunk into his brow and know that it was for me that I did that, you think I can stand there lightly?
No.
And take that lightly?
No, there's nothing light about it.
And the Bible says God's going to wipe away all tears. I'm not too sure that when I stand there like that tears not going to flow strongly from my eyes.
He may have to have a big towel for me, I'll be honest.
So listen, you've been commissioned. You've been commissioned. You've been equipped. You've been given what you need. So go to the world.
And I'll quickly say this, Herschel, the hottest tears I cry are tears for my sin, my misbehavior, and the sweetest days I spend are the days when I feel the presence of God and know that all is well between me and God. There is nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, that Satan in the world can give me that can even come close to the moments I spend when I'm close to the Lord. There's nothing
it won't.
Satan's got nothing he can offer me.
Nothing can compare.
That'll even come close.
Well, let me. you remember that song, "Children Go Where I Send Thee"?
Yeah.
I'm gonna read a little of it. I ain't gonna sing it because I'll hear radios clicking off all over the country.
Brown'll be
"Children Go Where I Send Thee. How shall I send thee? I'm gonna send thee one by one. One for the little bitty baby, born in Bethlehem. I want to go for that little bitty baby,
amen,
born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm going to send thee two by two, two for Paul and Silas. One for the little bitty baby, born in Bethlehem. Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm going to send thee three by three, three for the Hebrew children, two for Paul and Silas, and one for the little bitty baby born in Bethlehem. Amen. And I could go on because there's 12 here, but I'm not going to do that. But get this message. Get this message, and we're going to climax it in just a moment. Get this message that we are to go. I can hear the Lord say, children, go where I send thee. He's telling me that. He's telling Mike that. He's telling Brother Kenyon that. But he's telling you there also.
Absolutely.
If you are a Christian, then he's saying, children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee? I'm going to send thee one of the important things, that little bitty baby born in Bethlehem. I owe him so much. If he told me to go jump off of the Warrior Bridge in Tuscaloosa, he wouldn't tell me anything foolish like that to do or anything fatal like that to do. But wherever he sends, I want to go. Because when I look at him at the judgment seat of Christ, how I long for him to smile.
Absolutely,
on me.
Absolutely.
How I long for that.
Absolutely.
More than anything else in the world. On my tombstone, I wish they would put my name, the date of my birth, date of my death, and then put, he was faithful.
That's it.
He was faithful.
Oh, that's
because
it.
That's what I want to hear my Savior say. Well done. Quote that verse.
Well done, my good and faithful servant. Wow, what a statement.
Mm. That's what I want to hear.
Hear the mouth of the Savior say that to me. My goodness.
It's worth every tear I've shed, and I've shed a bucket full of.
That's right.
Have you ever had a lost person, Mike, or maybe a problem in the church like we talked about a while ago? Some folks can just take it lightly, but the book stops here with the preacher.
Right.
And it's rest on our shoulders.
It does.
They've been
no
many
doubt.
A night. I've wet my pillow down with tears I prayed for folks that are lost and are going to go to hell. Or I've prayed for somebody that's a Christian, but out of God's will.
Out of the fellowship of Christ. Oh, Lord.
And the problems that come within the church.
Yep.
And it breaks our heart.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks our heart. And it ought to break yours too. And God is saying, go where I send you. I am commissioning you. I am commissioning you. Well, I guess we better finish up with this last part.
Yes, our time's running low. Let's go to 2 Corinthians again, chapter 5. Look at verse 20. Now then. I like why he says that, mm-hmm. because when he puts
now
it that
then.
Way. Now then. Mom used to look at me and she'd say, all right, now then, what are we going to do? Well, now then means because of all this other stuff I've said before. Now then. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a swap. I've bought cars and traded cars all of my life, and I always tried to trade up, try to take my old broke down Flivver and trade it in on a newer, better Flivver. But in this case, you can't even compare that.
No,
because
no.
In this case, my old dead in my sins.
No hope for me.
No hope whatsoever.
Apart from this one that we're telling you about.
But then I went to the altar, dead in my sin. And I left that altar alive and in eternal reconciliation to God, that I could walk in him and with him. And, oh, man.
And he's going to let you live maybe, 80 years or so, and it'll all be over and you'll just vanish away then, won't you?
That's when it's just beginning. That's when the good part starts. Don't let your fork go to the dishwasher. We got the better stuff yet to come.
Ah, that's exactly right.
We are, oh my goodness, looking forward to the day when we will be in his presence. But what we're talking about today is so real in a person's life if you are born again. Jesus left this old earth because he ascended back to the Father, but he left behind his ambassadors. And he gave his ambassadors a full tank of gas and mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and said, I'm going to give you this Holy Spirit. I'm going to send him, and he's going to go with you. And now I want you to go, and I want you to be me. I want you to be me to the world.
That's about as plain as you can put it.
That's it. I want you to be me to the world.
You're my, for whatever assignment I am giving you, you are me.
And that the biggest thing, if I were to boil Jesus down to one word, it would be sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Because everything Jesus did, he did as a sacrifice right. for others, for us and for those around us. And boy, when we start ranting and raving about, oh, I have rights, you know, and I have all of this. Man, listen, I have no right except to be the servant of others for in the name of Christ. To be his ambassador means that I'm his representative. I can't ever come up to the same standard of Christ. I can't. I'm not capable of that because I can. I can strive harder and harder every day to be more like Jesus. That's what Romans 8:28-29 tells us, that it's our predestined purpose in the world, once we got saved, was to become like Jesus. It ought to be our purpose in life every day.
Amen.
To get more and more like Jesus and go with those wonderful possibilities that Christ. All we have to do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. If you can believe right now that Jesus is the Son of God, tell him so. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you sacrificed all for me. I believe you took the wretchedness of my sin away and gave me the wonderful righteousness of God. That's what I believe. I know it to be the truth. And Christ will save you. He will give you new life. You'll start all over again with a brand new slate. But you got to serve him. And the best way to serve him is in a God-fearing, Bible-believing, worshiping church.
Amen.
Get in one. Stay in one. Be faithful in one. And let God lead you to the one that's right for you. But don't go there for any other reason other than you just know that's where God has planted you to grow and to serve, and then get about doing God's business. You'll never know the true joy of Jesus till you do that.
Be God's ambassador. That's good an explanation I ever heard, Mike. And be God's ambassador inside the church.
Absolutely.
Be God's ambassador inside your family. Be God's ambassador in your community. Be God's ambassador in your world, the world that you live in, where you work, where your scope of influence is. Let it be known by you and others that I am representing Jesus, and my life will always be to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, he loves you. If you're not saved, Mike told you, He showed you the road, and he showed you the signs on the road that leads right to Calvary and to a forgiveness that is unquestionably the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. And so we're begging you today. We're begging you today to give your life to the Lord. And then, as he saves you, then give your service to the Lord. He wants you to do what he's not here to do anymore, but he left you here to do that. So you right now, just bow your head if you're lost and ask him to come into your heart. If you're saved, bow your head and say, Lord, I will go where you send me. I will do the work you've asked me to do. We appreciate so much you joining us week by week. It's our privilege to be his ambassadors our privilege to be commissioned to tell the whole world, if we can, about Jesus. Join us next week, right back here on the radio, and we'll talk about Jesus again next week.